The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show. My son introducing me, I don't know how old that is. It's got to be years. And actually, he turned 13 today, and he doesn't sound like that. So I want to wish my son a happy birthday. Welcome to the program. We are here every weekday afternoon, and let's begin with our impact segment, shall we? 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Now, yesterday and the day before, thank you to so many of you that responded to our plea that you would reach out and provide a 44-cent cure to so many young children throughout developing nations that are suffering from parasites. If you did not give, and maybe this is the first time, you can go to our website and still give, but thank you, everybody. And obviously, the last 2 days, that's what we've done on the program. Today, we are back to programming by which I look at things that I'm greatly concerned about and present them to you, and in some cases invite you to have a dialogue and a discussion about, which we're going to do on this impact segment. So let me share a few things. We've got some audio, and the phone lines are wide open, 888-528-2557. Usually on Friday, we do Open Phone Friday, and for the time being, that's not the protocol. There is a specific topic on the table, and we'll invite you to call on that topic in a moment. So, being perfectly honest, I've not watched much, if any, of the testimony about the impending impeachment and what the Democrats have said and the counter response today. I've read little bits and pieces here and there. And the prognosis is there won't be an impeachment anyway. It's not just a majority. It's, I think, they have to get 67, like two-thirds, and that's not going to happen. So what's really going on here? Why are they doing this? And there's a lot of ways we can go, but I want to primarily go in one direction, and that is, what is the truth? Now, this is all about, you hear the terminology armed insurrection. And the former president, who's now a private citizen, that is on trial yet again, all the fingers are pointed at him. He created this. Armed insurrection. What does that terminology mean? Was there violence? Yeah. Have people been arrested? Yes, and it seems like there will be more. Anyone that stands for law and order, is their position not? Everybody should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, without a doubt. But this finger pointing, and that somehow this man, that's the epitome of whatever, half the country voted against him for various reasons. And I'm just here to say, what's the truth and what's the lie? So as it applies to January the 6th, I found out some information that I did not know. Safe to say, maybe some of you didn't know this either. Because again, we hear this terminology, armed insurrection, and that five people died. Did five people die that day? The answer is yes. That's awful. That's horrible. But how did they die? And if you hear over the last 2 days, with videos being shown, and this ongoing armed insurrection, and the finger pointing at former President Trump, it would seem like, at least in my estimation, that's the case they're presenting. Now, I just want to give you information, and phone lines are open. I would love your response. 888-528-2557. What happened on January the 6th? Five people died. Who were they? How did they die? Tucker Carlson did a commentary. You all need to hear this if you've not heard it, and then we'll take your phone calls.
Before we remake America to prevent future genocide at the Capitol, maybe we should know a little bit more about the crime that occurred on January 6th, if only to understand the justification for overturning our lives permanently. What exactly did happen that day? Simple question. You may be surprised to learn how little we know even now. In fact, it's remarkable how many of the most basic questions remain unanswered more than a month after the fact. Let's start with the headline of the day. Five Americans died on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. You've heard that. You hear it incessantly, including from Republican office holders. Five dead. But that doesn't really tell you very much. It's the details, as always, that matter. Who were these people and how did they die? That's how you understand what actually happened. So with that in mind, here are the facts as of tonight. Four of the five who died that day were Trump supporters. The fifth was a Capitol Hill police officer who apparently also supported Donald Trump. Why is this relevant? Of course, the political views of the deceased shouldn't matter. But unfortunately, in this case, they do. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and many other elected Democrats claim the mob was coming for them that day. Yet the only recorded casualties on January 6th were people who voted for Donald Trump. The first among them was the 34-year-old woman from Georgia called Roseanne Boyland. Authorities first announced that Boylan died of a, quote, medical emergency. Later video footage suggested she may have accidentally been trampled by the crowd. We're still not sure. That's the best guess. The second casualty was 55-year-old Kevin Greeson. Greeson died of heart failure while talking to his wife on a cell phone outside the Capitol. Quote, Kevin had a history of high blood pressure, his wife later said, and in the midst of the excitement, he suffered a heart attack, end quote. The third was 50-year-old Benjamin Phillips of Ringtown, Pennsylvania. Phillips was a Trump supporter who organized a bus trip to Washington for the rally that day. He died of a stroke on the grounds of the Capitol. There is no evidence that Phillips rioted or was injured by rioters or even went inside the Capitol building. The fourth person to die, the only person to die that day of intentional violence, was 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt, a military veteran from San Diego. Babbitt was wearing a Trump cape when she was shot to death by a Capitol Hill police lieutenant. Babbitt's death was caught on video, so hers is the best documented death that took place that day. And yet it is surprising how little we know about it. Babbitt was shot as she tried to crawl through a broken window into the speaker's lobby within the Capitol. And that's essentially the extent of what we know. Authorities have refused to release the name of the man who shot her or divulge any details of the investigation they say they've done. We may never know exactly why this unnamed Capitol Hill police officer took her life. According to that officer's attorney, quote, there is no way to look at the evidence and think that he is anything but a hero. Of course, we can't actually look at that evidence because they're withholding it. We can't even know his identity. Killing an unarmed woman may be justified under certain specific circumstances. But since when is it, quote, heroic when the dead woman has read QAnon websites? Republicans aren't asking that question. One Republican member of Congress from Oklahoma says he immediately hugged the officer who shot Ashley Babbitt. You did what you had to do, the congressman said. But did the officer really have to do that? We don't know. It would be nice to know. Maybe someone could ask.
Now, the second portion of the commentary to me is the most telling. And again, I would love to hear from you if you have any thoughts. Many of you have emailed me. Even some of you upset that over the last couple of days, I didn't have a program to talk about the impeachment. Well, I do today. If you're listening and you emailed me, your call is welcomed wherever you stand, whatever your thoughts are. 888-528-2557. The latter part of the audio clip that you're about to hear, Tucker Carlson makes reference to the fifth person that was, well, that died that day. Pay special attention to what is the truth versus maybe what we've been told. This is very important. 888-528-2557.
We do know that Ashley Babbitt was not holding a weapon when she was killed. Nevertheless, at the impeachment hearing this week, Congressman David Cicilline of Rhode Island described what happened at the Capitol as, quote, an armed insurrection. Watch.
He incited an armed, angry mob to riot. On inciting an armed insurrection against the United States government, an armed, angry, and dangerous crowd, armed violence against the government of the United States of America.
David Cicilline is a former mafia lawyer from Providence, so presumably he knows what it is to commit a felony with a firearm. Doubtless he does. There are no reports of rioters at the Capitol building that day discharging weapons or threatening anyone with a gun. So what exactly is David Cicilline talking about? Well, apparently he's referring to the death of Officer Brian Sicknick. In the hours after the riot, the New York Times reported that Trump supporters had brutally beaten Officer Sicknick to death with a fire extinguisher. The fire extinguisher, apparently, is the deadly weapon, the armed in the armed insurrection. Now, the news of Sicknick's death by violence was quickly picked up by countless other media outlets. Cable television anchors repeated and then amplified it.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the hours-long attack.
They beat a Capitol Police officer to death with a fire extinguisher.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the fight.
He died at the age of 42 after he was bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher.
Capitol Hill police officer beaten to death with a fire extinguisher by a white supremacist mob. It's horrifying. And that is the story they were telling. It's a story they still are telling. That account forms the basis of the myth that Democrats have constructed around January 6th. Sicknick's remains lay in state at the Capitol building. Streams of politicians, the very same people who just months before had told us that cops were racist by definition, those same people praised Brian Sicknick as a hero. They had finally found a police officer who served their political uses. Kamala Harris and her husband, for example, arrived to pay their respects, and as they did, they said not one thing about defunding the police. But in fact, the story they told was a lie from beginning to end. Officer Sicknick was not beaten to death, not with a fire extinguisher, not with anything else. According to an exhaustive and fascinating new analysis on Revolver News, there's no evidence that Brian Sicknick was hit with a fire extinguisher at any point during the day. None. No video, nothing. The officer's body apparently bore no signs of trauma. In fact, on the night of January 6th, long after rioters at the Capitol had been arrested or dispersed, Brian Sicknick texted his brother from his office. According to his brother, Sicknick said he'd been, quote, pepper sprayed twice and he was in good shape. 24 hours later, Officer Brian Sicknick was dead. How did Officer Sicknick die? The head of the Capitol Police Union has said he had a stroke, no cause given. More than that, we still don't know. Sicknick's body was cremated immediately. Authorities have refused to release his autopsy. No one has been charged in his death. No charges are pending. Whatever happened to Brian Sicknick was tragic, obviously. But it was also very different from what they have told us. They have lied about how he died.
So I would be very interested to hear your thoughts. 888-528-2557. If we have been told something by the media that has been proven to be a lie, and maybe you've been in the mindset of, yeah, you're deeply disturbed about what happened on January 6th, and this former president needs to be impeached, and a whole lot of other things. How do you square that when we've come to find out there is information that Officer Brian Sicknick did not die the way the media said over and over he died, which it definitely seems would fall into the commentary about an armed insurrection? Does this bother you at all? 888-528-2557. The lead House impeachment manager, Jamie Raskin, this guy's unbelievable in some of the things he made mention of. Is this something that you're not even concerned about? That you've moved on? I don't even want to think about the impeachment. Why is that? I want to hear your thoughts. I've gotten a lot of emails over the last 2 days, people saying, I can't believe you're not talking about this. The country's falling apart and you're, well, doing what you're doing on the air. But for me, wherever you fall into, and maybe you're in the gray area, although it seems like most of what's promoted is this deep division, one side or the other. And if whether you're on one side or the other, or you're in the gray area, the fact that we have been told this officer was beaten to death by white supremacists, and you keep hearing armed insurrection, If indeed that's not the case, what's going on here? Or I'll say it a different way, and then we'll take some calls. Do so many people hate the representation, the image, who they think this former president is, that truth doesn't matter? That emotions and feelings are the most important end all and the altar by which we bow versus any level of honesty or truth. That the ends justify the means. Well, it may not be exactly the way it went down, but this guy has no business, fill in the blank, ever being in a position again. And we're going to impeach him. And then because it seems like that's not going to happen, now they're talking about, well, we'll censor him. One individual that happens to have 70 million people that believed in part of what he stood for, all of what he stood for, and everything in between. But if we can't even have an honest media, my goodness gracious, I just, these are issues I would hope that we can at least talk about. Because cancel culture is alive and sick. Where even in the public arena of social media, any dissenting view other than what we're being told is not being tolerated. And that's been escalated more and more. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. Steve and Pico Rivera. Steve, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Steve, are you there? There you are.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Yeah, happy Friday to you. Anyhow, my thought to come up immediately is because President Trump, while he was president, he has shown and proved that he has, for a better word, the guts to expose people in our government who have lied, dishonored, have created self-serving type of laws for themselves, specifically under the Democratic Party. And I believe it's something that the Democratic Party recognizes if he stays president or in that power, or even decides to run again after this term is over, that he will definitely expose those that have been in the political arena that have been long-time, long-living types of politicians who have raped this country in many areas. And he's the only one that can actually do this and has done it, and they're afraid for the being exposed. That's my thought.
Well, and I think that thought is valid. Many people have that thought. But in the same respect, how do we address the millions and millions of people that voted against him and would say, Steve, maybe that's true, but ultimately, this is a bad guy. And he did bad things in the 4 years that he was in office. And surely we don't want him back in office in any way, shape, or form. What do we respond? How do we address that?
The response is this. We all have our opinions, good, bad, or unwilling to determine what his motives are. But his past record has shown he has done very, very positive things for this country, various treaties, various laws. Areas of diminishing monies to other countries for abortion. Many people are in a position not to recognize that as a positive thing because it does not fill their pocketbook with extra dollars and cents.
Well, okay. Steve, I thank you for the call. I don't know if you answered the question, but I think there are many agree with you that his policies speak for themselves. 888-528-2557. Any thoughts about what you just heard? Again, we had a full board. Now we've lost three phone lines immediately. I don't know what that means. 888-528-2557. We have three open lines. Chuck in San Diego. Chuck, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Chuck, are you there? Okay. Maybe we just have phone issues today. We do from time to time. I don't know. Let's try Sam in Los Angeles. Sam, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yeah, Frank, how you doing?
Hi, Sam.
I'd like to speak on the fact that when you speak about armed insurrections, for example, you know, that's semantics, because you don't necessarily have to have a gun to be armed. And then when you talk about lies, not only lies within the media, but lies within the leadership. There was the lie that got us into this. So the lies are just so prevalent that you can't just isolate it to one individual or one entity. So you have to be very careful when people speak on lies. And when this guy has been noted for lying incessantly, I think that needs to be taken into account.
Okay. Thank you. Well, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Hang on. You said the lies, or the lie that got us into this. What is this, and what is the lie specifically you're referring to?
Okay, the insurrection and the condition of the nation, the division of the nation, it has been based on lies. The politics of fear is based on lies, and that that didn't start with Trump, mind you, but it is a lie as far as the politics of fear.
It's a lie in terms of the politics of fear. Tell me more, because I actually think I agree with you, even though we would have different views of who's responsible for that fear. What do you mean specifically?
Well, go ahead. Of? What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of.
Who are we supposed to be afraid of?
Okay.
Are we supposed to be afraid of ourselves as a nation? Or the other, those that are different from us?
Well, you and I would probably say no. Tell me more. Again, I don't know you. I've not hung out with you. I don't know your views about specific things. I'm just trying to ascertain information in just a couple minutes of you on the air.
Well, that's the point. You may not have to know me personally, but if your convictions are as such, whereas if you're subscribing to a love doctrine, as most Christians should, then therefore we should be at least compassionate enough to understand the differences, quite frankly, without any violence. But that be that as it is, it happened. So where we are right now, again, is attributed to, again, lies from the politics of fear.
Okay. So what's the answer? I'm starting to realize I don't necessarily agree with that position, but what's the answer according to your thought process of all of this?
Well, you spoke of it, and actually, it's truth. You have to speak truth to power. You have to just speak truth. The truth hurts, mind you. We understand this. But the lie has an ulterior motive. And therefore, when we speak in terms of politicians and an agenda, it's not always going to be truthful.
Okay. All right. Sam, I appreciate the call. My experience is, I'm sure it's on me, that to really hone in on exactly what you're talking about would take a few conversations. But I appreciate your willingness to call today, and I hope you call in again sometime. In part of what we just heard, and it's not the only area that we can talk about, but when we hear five people die, January 6th, armed insurrection, and then we come to find out that Officer Brian Sicknick was not murdered in a way, the way the media told us over and over again. What do we do with that? Has the media issued a retraction? Maybe they have. I don't listen to the mainstream media. Are they being held accountable? Or is part of what's going on that narrative continues to be stated over and over again? How are we okay with that? Sam talked about lies. Yeah, there's other ways in which we can look at lies, but this one in particular, we've got an impeachment going on at a time when supposedly we've got a pandemic. And the current administration has said we can't do anything about it. It's amazing to me. You know, this is the same administration that under the previous one, when the Trump administration issued a travel ban to China, Joe Biden called them xenophobic. Now the current administration is talking about banning domestic travel to Florida. And I'm just saying, is this okay with us, my friends? If you're really interested in truth and logic and holding people accountable, because that's supposedly one of the main reasons why we're having an impeachment trial, to hold this man accountable. Or is that really what's going on here? We have two lines open, 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. If you're just joining us, I believe it was Wednesday night, Tucker Carlson did an expose on the January 6th breaching of the Capitol. And one of the areas that he examined at great length was the five people that died that day. With the final person, Officer Brian Sicknick, or Sicknick, was repeated over and over in the media that he was bludgeoned to death by a fire extinguisher. And yet, that doesn't seem to be the truth at all. We hear words like armed insurrection. One of the other things that was presented by the Democrats during this impeachment trial, Representative Jamie Raskin, some of the things he said, he wants to know why the former president waited hours before sending help to the Capitol and why he didn't condemn the violence that day. I have a story in front of me. According to Mark Meadows, who I happen to know, the president offered to deploy 10,000 National Guard troops ahead of the January 6th incident. He also, you know, over the summer, contacted governors and mayors, and I've got the National Guard if you need them. No. So it seems as if that's a lie. And as far as condemning the violence that day, he instantly made a video that Twitter took down condemning the violence, asking it to stop. He also, in his very speech that day, he talked about a peaceful response. And of course, they don't present that in terms of information at the trial. He urged his supporters to support the police and stay peaceful. By the way, the breach had already happened. He was still talking till 1:11 p.m. Eastern. So what's really going on here? And do you care about what is truth versus lies? Craig in Newberry Park, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, this is Craig.
You are on the air.
Oh, yeah, I'm calling about, you know, the fake news. It's like, remember in the old days when a newspaper would report something incorrect, they'd do a retraction like the next day? It's like the news should do, like, all the news media should do what like Tucker Carlson on their news for like 5 or 10 minutes and actually give the truth to retract their false statements.
Okay, that would be nice, but that's not the reality.
Yeah. And then my other thing is, you know, I've been listening to your show. I agree with everything or most everything that I hear on the show, but how does my voice get heard? Because if I sit in my car in traffic, listen to your show, I agree with callers, I agree with you, but I'm just silent in my car. And I want to be able to, like, let the left know that there's people out there that don't agree with what's going on.
Well, I don't know you. I don't know your life. I wouldn't emphasize necessarily numbers. You make an impact in your life in maybe many more ways than you even give yourself credit for. I don't know if you're in social media. I don't know your interactions. But I would, at the very least, suspect that would be something for you to pray more about. And you are gone before I even finish. Thank you for the call. Chris in Monterey Park, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Okay, we're going to move on. If your radio is on, we are going to move on. We ask that you turn it down. Paul in Santa Fe Springs, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yeah, Frank, how you doing?
Paul, I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Hey, so anyway, the whole situation with Trump they're throwing him under the bus completely because they were afraid of the whole exposure that President Trump exposed the country. And if you look at a lot of these videos there of certain people basically getting a bypass in the house there when they were allowing the people to go on in there, and they had a bunch of people dressed as Trump supporters, and they were actually Antifa members that were already set in there. And then you look at AOC, Ilhan Omar. They were down in these marches down in Minnesota, and then she was on, AOC was on these different websites promoting these terrorist groups. I think there was a group called the Sunshine Group, a bunch of teenagers that were rising to overthrow and do a lot of damage of everything.
Okay, I'm. You said a lot in a short time. I appreciate your call. The one thing that I can comment on is their hypocrisy from the left. For me, undeniably. And yet, they're the ones pointing the finger. They're the ones talking about violent insurrection. They're the ones talking about his words incited violence. And yet, all summer, we heard nothing. Cities burning down, businesses being looted, and nothing. So it stands to me that there's a bit of hypocrisy at the very least going on here, for sure. Let's see. Chuck in San Diego, I have no idea what this question means. Chuck, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Chuck, are you there? Okay. We have a line open now, 888-528-2557. Let's see. We already were there. By the way, if I took you on the air, I'm not taking you again. We need your radio turned down. Bernice in Riverside. Bernice, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, thank you, Frank. I just wanted to say you had mentioned before about how we address the, I don't even want to say the left, but anyway, just those that with differing points of view. For me, as a believer, and not just a believer, but because of that, a seeker of truth, there will never be peace and unity between. There cannot be peace and unity between truth and a lie. It's like oil and water. So while I wouldn't say that what they believe is a lie, because I think that's part of what's dividing us, that we each believe, each side believes that the other is lying, I think it needs to be said that we both want truth and we both want facts. I believe so, even though that's not how they're acting, and from the clip that you just played, what they're putting out there, they're not putting facts. And they're not putting truth.
I'm confused. When you say we both want truth, who are you talking about?
Both sides.
Do you really believe the people in positions now that are arguing for impeachment, they want truth?
Well, no. That's obviously why we are so divided. But my point is, in that, it's appealing to the wishful nature of a human being on the opposing side. Who wouldn't want truth in this case? And tell you what, if you're not willing to admit that you don't want truth because you just want to further your agenda, then you've answered your own question as to why there will never be unity between those that do want to live by and seek truth and those that don't, because you can say whatever you want, but if it's not based on truth, it's going to cause division.
Bernice, do you actually believe there aren't people in this country that don't want division? Do you actually believe there aren't people in this country that hate this country?
I do.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay, that's...
I really firmly...
Okay, I appreciate that. I wanted to try to understand what you were sharing, and I appreciate your call, and thank you for sharing that. I resist the logic of taking one more round of calls, but I think that would be the right thing to do. And so let me just set the parameters again. If you are listening to the program and you were screened, make sure your radio is turned down. When you get on the air, share what you called to talk about. Just be direct, and we'll have a conversation for a few moments. If you're not sure about what you want to say, maybe you can disengage and leave that line open for somebody that does have something they want to share, whatever it is. You can also email me. The email address for both stations is wide open. But I want to make sure that we spend this final segment of this hour in a constructive mode by which we at least convey our thoughts about what happened January 6th, whether we agree or disagree or come to some level of a deeper understanding. For me, my main reason for bringing this up is there has been information that's come to light about one of the people that died that day. The officer, the mainstream media said he was bludgeoned to death by these white supremacist Trump supporters, and it seems like that's a blatant lie. Are there other lies being put forth that are built on, why are we even having an impeachment trial when it's obvious they're not going to receive 67% consensus in Senate? Is this just grandstanding? Is this just adding more to, their agenda? We have an administration that says he's all about unity, and he's all for the impeachment. And then once the impeachment is voted down, now there's talk they want to censor him. Are we still we the people? Tens of millions of people supposedly voted for Donald Trump. Tens of millions of people supposedly voted for Joe Biden. Are we not part of this process at all anymore? 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to go right back to the phones. And the majority of people that are called in, you're all asking questions. Most of you have no position. You just want to know what I think. So I'll move through the calls rather quickly because I do also want to engage anyone that has a position, whether they agree, disagree, or somewhere in the middle. Rick in San Diego, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. This is the first time I've called, and thank you. I really appreciate you putting that out. You're saying, what should we do? What should we do? Just what you're doing. And putting the truth out there, talked about a double standard. I just read an article on CBN News about Ron Paul and what he said about Chuck Schumer on the Supreme Court front there, inciting a mob to, we're going to fight, like hell, I think he said. And it's just it's a double standard. And the only thing I can think of is that I think the biggest problem that we face right now is that people don't know the Word of God. They just don't know. It's a lifetime process. I've been walking with the Lord for about 40 years and was even involved in a community for 32 years. What a blessing it was. Not in that now.
Well, let me interrupt because time is of the essence. You had a question on the screen we didn't get to. Maybe you thought best about asking the question. No, you're welcome to call anytime again. Thank you for your call, Rick. Again, I'm going to move through calls quickly. Time is really limited. Megan in Irvine. Megan, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, I wanted to say that I believe that the Capitol riot, I don't believe it actually was planned to be a riot. I think that Antifa antagonized it, but I don't think that the protest went far enough. I think that this whole impeachment trial is misdirection and honestly gaslighting, shaming people who were there to protest because of the violence that happened from Antifa at the protest. But our election was stolen. So
So what else are we supposed to do? If we can't get our representatives to change anything, we can't get the people that we want to vote to get into office, what recourse do we have other than protesting? And that, I think, is what the fear is of the far left. They wanted the election. They stole the election, in my opinion. And so, of course, they're going to start putting on the circus show saying, oh, no, you're violent. You're violent. You're terrible. You're awful. We're going to impeach Trump now because this was so horrible and a threat to our democracy, constantly said by every news station, it seems like, in unison. Obviously, it's rehearsed.
Well, let me respond. Thank you, Megan. Again, if we had more time, I'd engage more. I think you speak for a lot of people that are frustrated, that believe something went down that wasn't right with the elections. There are a lot of people that sense that there's no collective will to get down to anomalies or things that are wrong or just the way things are happening. There's this whole cancel culture going on right now. In terms of what can the collective we do, I think we need to organize better. And we can maybe talk about that again another time, but I think organization is the key. I believe that there were Antifa. There's a story here that there were 20 specifically there to engage. Were a lot of dumb people get caught up in it? Yes. I don't think it was just all Antifa. I'm not just saying, you know, they did it and nobody of the Trump supporters were nowhere to be found. I think that's nonsense too. But when you take into consideration 350,000 people were there that day. And what, they've arrested 150 people? And this broad stroke, all Trump supporters, anybody, they're all hateful or they're all domestic terrorists now and should be treated that way. Obviously, what can we do? We need to get our wits about us and then be more intentional about how we push back. Megan, thank you. Many people have sent me this email. I do have a response. Let me talk to Linda in Fallbrook. Linda, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me. I have a comment, and then I just have a question for you. I just wanted to say, you know, as a Christian, I only have so much faith in government. I know Scripture confirms that, you know, governments have worldly agendas, and, you know, we have been and will continue to be enslaved by nefarious agendas until, as Christians, we wake up, open our eyes, and see ourselves as citizens of heaven. Having said that, I am a Trump supporter. I do believe that this whole impeachment stuff is grandstanding. My question or little factoid to you is, I found that typing Antifa.com rerouted me straight to the whitehouse.gov, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts as well. To be very honest, I give it no thought. My understanding is that during the campaign, if you typed in Antifa.com, it would go to Joe Biden's website. Now it goes to the White House. Okay. It is what it is. I don't really, honestly, and maybe somebody else has not only given it a lot of thought, they have a way in which to address this. I don't know, but it's not even something I spend a moment thinking about. Other than I have had many people ask me the same thing. Linda, thank you. Doug in Anaheim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. We've got about 90 seconds, Doug.
Hey, Mr. Sontag, how are you? Long-time listener, back from the MNB show, believe it or not. Hey, so here's my question. We had a very close election at worst case, 52-48, 51-49. I was kind of concerned, you know, that we're heading for a second civil war behind what Trump was saying. Tell me, what do you think the Democrats are trying to do by holding this impeachment that makes no difference at this point? Are they trying to incite a civil war? Because there's nothing good in that for this country.
Great question. Doug, thank you for sharing, and I'll try to respond in 40 seconds. What are they trying to do? I oftentimes think the same thing. What's the point? Logic would say they're not going to get an impeachment. Is this just something that's born out of pure hatred? I think that's way too easy of an answer. I think that they are making a statement that they are now in power. You've got a fencing miles around the Capitol with barbed wire and thousands of troops. What's that about? I think they're making a statement. They're in control. They're in power. And I think primarily that's what it is. They are fueled with the obsession for power. This is the Frank Sontag Show.